Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Lamed Daled Amud Aleph by the two dots. Gemara says, Tanu Banan, Shor Shave Mataim, Shenagach Shor Shave Mataim. So you have two animals that are of equal value, and one of them gored the other. V'chaval bo b'chamishim zuz. And he does damage of 50 zuz, so that's a 25% reduction in the value of the animal. But then, v'shabach v'amad al arba me'ud zuz. But then, the value went up, and v'shabach here, as Rashi notes over here, is the nizak. The nizak's animal went up in value. Shumalei hiziko ayomed al shmona me'ud zuz. Had he not damaged it, it'd be worth 800 zuz. So in this part of the Braita, there's going to be other sections of the Braita, which the Gemara will also discuss. Rashi brings two possibilities as to what the question is and what the answer implicit in the statement of the Braita is. According to the first Lashon, which Rashi favors, as well as the Balei HaTosafot and many of the Rishonim, is that the Mazik here says, listen, I did damage to you of 50 zuz. My animal's a tam. I owe you 25 zuz, which is chatzi nezek. But in the meantime, the value of your animal increased to 400 zuz or by 400 zuz. If that's the case, the amount of damage that I did has far been exceeded now in the value of the animal. So I shouldn't have to pay you for any of the damage. What the damaged party could say back, if you hadn't damaged my animal, it'd be weighed 800 now instead of 400. And it's exactly what the response of the Nizak is over here, is that you don't have a right to tell me that the damage did nothing. Yes, it increased in value. Yes, it far exceeded the diminishment in value that was caused by the damage that you did. But that doesn't mean that you didn't cause some problem here. And that problem might even be exacerbated because now that the values went up by so much, it might be that it would have gone up significantly more in value. And therefore, the mazik can't get out of paying the nezek in this case. That's the first lashon that Rashi brings. The second lashon that Rashi brings is lishnachrina, that the nizak says to the mazik, I want to collect a lot more damage from you, which is that had your animal never damaged my animal's value would have gone up much more significantly. And therefore, if you've caused me a loss in future revenue, or possibility and appreciation and value. So you shouldn't just pay the 25, which is half the damage that you did. You should pay the 200 zuz, which is half of the 400 more that my animal would have been worth had you not done this damage. And then the Gemara rejects and says, no, that the nizak doesn't have a right to ask for compensation for things that are in the future or future values. He only has the right to ask for the damage that is done currently, not the future appreciation of the animal. That's the second Lashon of Rashi. Rashi clearly favors the first Lashon, and then later on in the Gemara asks a question based on the Gemara that makes it very difficult to explain the Gemara according to the second reasoning. So therefore, notain kishata nezek. Therefore, in this circumstance or situation, you give at the time of the damage was done. So according to the first Lashon and Rashi, that means that the mazik still has to pay the 25 zuz, because at that point in time, that was the diminishment in value that he caused, even though now it's appreciated significantly. According to the second Lashon, you pay kishat ha-nezek. You pay at that moment what was the diminishment of value, not the future appreciation that could have happened had there not been nezek. Kachash, on the other hand, if the animals went down in value, that of the nizak went down in value, kishat ha-mada b'din, then we wait until we bring it to din, and then we charge the mazik for that additional depreciation that happened between the time of the accident and the time that he shows up in Beit Din. So we make him responsible for the continuing diminishment in the value of the animal, and the Gemara will ask why that is. Now the next, Shabach Mazik. What happens if the Mazik's animal goes up in value? Notein lo kishat ha-nezek. Then you paid like the time of the nezek that was done, the time that the damage was done. Kachash, kishat ha-mada b'din. On the other hand, if the value of the Mazik's animal went down or depreciated, then we go by the time that you show up in court and not the time of the nezek. Now just as background before we go into the next section of the Gemara, remember that we had a machloket between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva believes that when the damage is done by the shor tam, the nizak becomes a partner in the mazik's animal. He, in essence, has a right that exists in his ownership of the mazik's animal. On the other hand, Rabbi Shmuel simply believes that you have a monetary lien on the animal. So now, if you just look at this in terms of, or the view of Rabbi Akiva, which will become important in the Gemara coming up, for instance, in the latter cases where the mazik's animal is going up in value or diminishing in value, remember he started out at 200 zuz of value. The damage that was done here to the other party was 50 zuz. That means that the mazik is responsible for 25 zuz, which is half the nezek. 25 out of 200 is 1/8 of the value of the animal. That means technically, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Nizak owns 1/8 of the Mazik's animal. If that's true, then if the animal went up in value, he should garner 1/8 of the appreciation. If the animal depreciates in value, he should be subject to that depreciation on 1/8 of the animal. But as you can see in the braita that we just quoted, the dinim are different. By the case of Shavach HaMazik, where the value goes up, in that case we say that we go after Shat HaNezek, go after the time of the damage was done, and he does not garner or does not benefit from the appreciation in value. On the other hand, when it comes to depreciation of value in the animal, there we say that the Nizak does share in it, and it's as if he has a joint ownership. And that will lead to the question in the Gemara, why is this not consistent in the approach? So Amarar, Shavach HaMazik Notein Kishat HaNezek. If it went up or appreciated in value, then we say that it's all determined by the moment of damage. Mani, who is that authored by? Rabbi Shmuel. That sounds like Rabbi Shmuel, the Mar Bal Chovu, Vizuzei the Masik Lei. Because all that Nizak has is a claim, a monetary claim against the Mazik, and he has a lien on the animal. So that means he has no ownership in the animal. If that's the case, when the animal goes up in value, then the Nizak has no rights to that or no part in that. Ema Seifa, the next line in the Braita that says, Kachash, if it depreciates in value, Kishata Mada Bedin. Then we go after what its value is at the time they come to court. That means when the Mazik's animal depreciates, the Nizak shares in that depreciation. Atan the Rabbi Akiva. That sounds like Rabbi Akiva, Damar Shutfein in you, that they are partners, that you have ownership in the animal. Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, Maseifa Rabbi Akiva. In that latter half of the Braita, it seems like the first line about appreciation is following the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel, and the one that talks about depreciation is following the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Where it says, lo, kula Rabbi Akiva hi. The entire latter half of the Braita is Rabbi Akiva. V'hacha ma'eskinan v'shepitmo. It's a case where he fattened it up. The reason that the animal appreciated in value is not because the animal in the marketplace went up in value, but rather that the mazik took action or invested in the animal to make it go up in value. So if that's the case, then the Nizak should have no benefit from that or should not garner any of the appreciation, because when the Mazik invests, he lost money or he invested money doing that, and Nizak should not be a beneficiary of that. It says, Ishapitmo, if it's a case where he fattened him up, Amoresha. What are you going to do about the earlier half of the Braita, which was talking about the case of the Nizak? Shabach Nizak. That's the case, right? You can see in Rashi, actually, the Girsa is Shavach Nizak, but we implied that when we spoke about it in the Breita, Pamar Adad Meod Zuz, and then it went up to 400 Zuz. Notein Lo Kishata Nezek. There it says you pay him based on the time of the damage that's done. Ikishipitmo, if you're talking about a case that he fattened it up, Tzvichad HaMeimar, you have to tell me that's the case? I mean, isn't it obvious that the Mazik has no right to the appreciation of value in the Nizak's animal? Why should he have any right to that? The Nizak invested money, fattened up the animal, and just because he fattened up the animal, also now the Mazik is a beneficiary of that? Why should that be the case? So that's what the Gemara is saying. If you're telling me that the Bright is talking about a case where these parties are investing in their animals to appreciate them, then there's no reason for the first half of the Mishnah to tell you the Chiddush that the Mazik has no rights to what's happening here. On the other hand, if it's a case where it appreciated by itself, then you can understand why the Mazik might have a claim over here. Now here is where Rashi knocks out the second Lashon. In the first Lashon, where it says that the Mazik is coming along and making a claim, listen, I did damage of 25 zuz, your animal is now appreciated far in excess of that amount, I shouldn't have to pay you anything. Then of course, when the Nizak is the investor that made the appreciation, of course the Mazik doesn't have any claim then. It makes no sense to make that claim. Now then, if you learn like the second Lashon of Rashi, which is that the Nizak is coming along and saying, you owe me the future value of appreciation here because you diminished the possibilities of future appreciation in this animal. Then over here, when he says that the Nizak invested in the animal and fattened it up and now went up to 400 zuz, but it could have gone up to 800 zuz, that's still a chiddush that the Braita would have to tell you that the Mazik is not on the hook for that. And therefore Rashi says that the Gemara's question here, which indicates that it's unnecessary, this part of the Braita, really only sits well with the first Lashon and not the second Lashon. Because according to the second Lashon, it'd still be a Chiddush to tell us that the Mazik is not responsible for the future value or the lost revenues or appreciation that came about because of the damage that he did. So Amar Papa, Rabbah tells us, no. Resha mishkachala ben de pitma pitume ben de shavcha memelo. That the resha of the bright is a case of whether he fatted it up or whether the appreciation happened by itself. The itzrich lashmina dehechad de shavcha memelo. The truth is that the first half of the bright, even though it's talking about both cases, the only case that is really a chiddush or is giving us additional information is the case where it appreciated by itself. Because in that instance, you might think that the mazik has some right to that. The answer is no. He has zero rights to that, and therefore, when it goes up in value, that all accrues to the nizak, and the mazik still has to pay for the damage that he did originally. On the other hand, if it continues to diminish in value, then the mazik will be on the hook for that, or a party to that, and the Gemara will ask why. That is. Therefore here, when shabcha v'meilu noten lo kishata nezek, seifa lo mishkacha lai lo bishepit mo. The case in the seifa, I mean the latter half of the bright, the words, the mazik that is investing or in the animals, or his animals going up in value, that's only in a case where the mazik invested and the animal went up in value, because there you could make a claim that the nizak has no rights to that appreciation. But if the appreciation happens by itself, and according to Rabbi Akiva, you're a partner in that animal, it would make a lot of sense for you to get a portion of that appreciation. Mar says, kachash, kishata madabedin. Now here, when it weakened, you then pay him, or the value is assessed at the time that you come to the Beit Din. Kachash machmat mai. Why did it weaken, or what to cause the diminishment in value over here? Ilem the kachasha machmat milacha, that it worked, and therefore it went down in value. Lemelei at mekachashat. Va'ana yehivna. The mazik can say to him, you are weakening the animal, and I'm paying for the weakness. And that's normal wear and tear on the animal. If you use the animal for work and that normal depreciation happens, that's your depreciation. That's not caused by the damage. The mazik should not be on the hook for that. So Ravashi, the kachash machmat makah. It's a case where the value continues to deteriorate or depreciate because of the injury that happened. Damarle, the nizak can say to the mazik, karna de torach, your ox's horn is kavira be, is buried inside of my ox. Well, that's obviously not literally, but figuratively, when he gores and does internal damage, the damage doesn't just end with the fact that it starts to heal and it looks like now that the scab is coming on top of the wound. There's still internal things that remain damaged, and there's still the possibility that the animal will, during that process of healing, deteriorate further or weaken. And for that, we put the mazik on the hook for, because it's really a continuation of the damage that was done or that was caused by the original injury. And so for that reason, you'll be on the hook for it. And the reason we don't say that the continued depreciation of the nevela after its death is also caused by the injury is because that is not directly correlated to the injury. That is because once the injury is done and the carcass is created, the depreciation of the value at that point in time, it all has to do with marketplace pricing, as well as the rotting of the nevela, not that which is directly correlated or connected to the actual damage that was done. The damage that was done caused that change from chai to mate. But now, whatever continued depreciation happens when it's a mate, that's all the problem of the nizak, and that has nothing to do with the original injury that took place. And in addition, the nizak is responsible to sell it, and he should sell it immediately. There's no reason for him to keep it around. His keeping it around is only going to end up causing it to deteriorate and be worth less. Whereas when you have a live animal, sometimes you need to wait to see what type of medical attention it has, to see whether it's getting better. So therefore, waiting is not a pshia in any way, is not any negligence, because that is the proper way to address the situation. So therefore, by the chai, we will force the mazik to pick up that tab as a continuation of the injury, whereas by the mate, by the nevela, we'll say that it's the nizak's problem. So now if we go back through the braita, just to review what the halachot are in the braita, in the first case of the braita, where the value goes up, and that's because the nizak invested in his animal and the animal went up, of course the mazik has no right to that. If it's a case where the value went up by itself, you might have thought that that covers the damage or wipes out the damage that the mazik did. The answer is no. We go after Shata Nezek at the moment that the damage was done. Therefore, the mazik is still on the hook for his 25 zuz that he should have paid, even though the animal now has gone up significantly more. because of the claim that it could have gone up even further, that you hindered the appreciation, and therefore you still have to pay for the nezek that you did up front. In a case where it diminishes in value, it goes down in value, there the mazik is on the hook because of what we just said here, that the diminishment or deterioration in value is a continuation of the injury. It's a furthering of the injury, and that's why you're on the hook for it. Obviously, if the diminishment of value happens because of something else, some other item besides the injury itself, then the mazik would not be on the hook for it. In the latter half of the Braita, again, we're saying that the Braita is authored by Rabbi Akiva. That means that Rabbi Akiva believes that the nizak is a partner in the animal. If the nizak's a partner in the animal, then when it goes up in value, he should benefit. When it goes down in value, he should lose. And in Okanami, that is the din, according to Rabbi Akiva, that the nizak will share in 1/8 of the appreciation or depreciation of the animal. Then why does the Braita say in the case where it appreciated that he gets nothing, meaning that we go after Shata Nezek? That's because this is a unique case where Shepitmo, that the case where the Mazik itself raised the value by investing in the animal. And his investment in the animal is what caused the appreciation, and that you shouldn't share in because he did it for himself. He has no reason to include you in that appreciation. And that's the way the Raivut really learns it, which is saying that if you have an animal of shutafin, you have an animal where you have partners, and one partner invests in the animal, that doesn't mean that the other partner is not a beneficiary or shouldn't be the beneficiary of that appreciation. It accrues to both parties or both partners. So if it's really true, like according to Rabbi Akiva, that you're a partner in this animal, you should be a beneficiary of that appreciation. Why do we not give you a part of that appreciation? Because the Raivit says that's not the intent of the mazik when he invests. When he invests, he has no intent that you get any of that appreciation. He doesn't think of you as a real partner. And even the nizak himself might not think of himself as a partner in the animal in the real sense. He's just a part in the animal to garner the nezek or the payment or compensation that he should get for the damage that was done. He's not looking at this as a long-term partnership where he's going to benefit from the appreciation of the animal. And therefore, according to the Raivud, that is the case here. No matter what the mazik invests or how he invests it, the nizak is not a beneficiary of that. On the other hand, you can see in the Balei Tosafot that they disagree with the Raivud and say that this is a very unique case, because otherwise it would be the case that the nizak benefits. And he says here, Kagon she'ena shevach yoter al yitziyah, must be a case where the appreciation is equal to the investment in the animal. Because in that case, there's no excess value that's being created. The money that was invested is exactly the excess value that is now accrued in this animal. In that instance, there's nothing for the nizak to come along and say, that's mine. Well, he says, well, if that's yours, you pay 1/8 of the outlays, and then you'll get 1/8 of the benefits. In that case, they'll be equal. And since they're equal, there's no benefit to the nizak. But the Balei Tosafot claim that if the mazik invested in the animal, and the shevach, the appreciation, far exceeded the investment he put into the animal, then the nizak would have a right to share in that appreciation in the amount that exceeds the payments that he made or the investment that he made, because he's no different than any other shutaf. He's a partner. If he's a partner, when one partner invests, both partners are the beneficiaries. And therefore, according to the Balei Tosafot, unlike the Raivit, you would be, or the nizak would be entitled to a portion of that appreciation. And our case here is unique in the sense that the benefit was equal to the investment, and therefore there's nothing for the nizak to come and claim. All right, so that's the machloket here that you have between the Balei Tosafot and the Raivit as to what is the real circumstance when there is shevach in this case. Does the nizak have entitlement to it? And the Balei Tosafot say yes, and the Raivit says no, because that's not the partnership. Is a limited type of partnership, in the sense that it's a partnership for him to gain his restitution, but not a partnership for him to start becoming a beneficiary of the accrual of value or appreciation of value. Okay, now we move into the next Mishnah. Shor shaveh mataim, shenagach shor shaveh mataim, v'en ha-nevela yafa klum, and the nevela is worthless. Amar Rabbi Meir, azeh ne'amar. This is the case in the Torah, which the Torah speaks about, the machru et the shor achai, the chatzu et kaspo, that this is the case of when they sell the live animal, and then the two parties split the value of the live animal. In this case, you have one that's worth 200, one that's worth 200. The one that's worth 200 damages the other one and makes it worth zero. So now the parties are each on the hook for 100 zuz. The mazik, because he's chayav chatzi nezek. The nizak, because if the mazik's only paying chatzi nezek, he's on the hook for the other chatzi nezek. So you take the live animal being the one that did the damage, it's worth 200. You sell it now, and they each get 100 zuz from that animal. That's the case that the Torah is speaking about chatzi nezek. That's what Rabbi Meir says is the paradigmatic case that the Torah is speaking about when it addresses the case of shor tam. On the other hand, Rabbi Huda disagrees and says, Rabbi Huda, v'chein halacha, what you said is true. I mean, nothing about what you said is untrue. The halacha, the concepts that you are putting forth are all right, but kiyamta umachru et shorachai v'chatzu et kaspo, that you kept. The one half of the pasuk that talks about selling the live animal and splitting the proceeds from that, that you took care of the pasuk. But the pasuk also has a continuation, which is, v'chi gov shor ish et shorehu v'meit, umechru et ashor chai, v'chatzu et kaspo, v'gam et ha-meit yechatzun. What happened to that? V'lo kiyamt, gam ha-meit yechatzun. You don't keep, or you do not, through your example or paradigm that you think the Torah is speaking about, deal with the latter half of the pasuk, which says that they also split the dead animal or the carcass. Over here, the carcass is worthless. They're not splitting it. So how are you mekayim that latter half of the pasuk? So what is the case, the paradigmatic case of the Torah? Shor shaveh matayim, shnagach shor shaveh matayim. Again, it's a 200 zuz shor that damages a 200 zuz shor. Banavela yafa chamishim zuz. And the carcass is now worth 50 zuz. That means now there's 150 zuz worth of damage. That means that each one of them is going to carry 75 zuz of that damage. Then, shezeh notel chatzi achai v'chatzi ameit, v'zeh notel chatzi achai v'chatzi ameit. Each one of them gets half of the live animal and half of the carcass. If you do that, the live animal is worth 200. You split it in half, each one of them gets 100. You take the carcass, it's worth 50 zuz. You split that between them, they each get 25. That means each one of them now has 125 zuz on their hands. And the true value of the animals beforehand was 200 zuz. They both now have lost 75 zuz. And that's exactly what the scenario or the case that you are trying to create. Now the Balei HaTosafot who speak about what Rabbi Yehuda says is you don't literally have to do what he says. You don't literally take the live animal and split it and the carcass and split it. He says, I lishna lav dafka. Lo altin ameimar ela shemekabel olav chatzi apchat. Ufi amaskana shakil b'shivcha. According to the Maskana of the Gemara, he also gets in the appreciation of the value. But the Balei HaTosafot is saying, don't take this so literally that you're selling the live animal and selling the carcass and then they're splitting the value because there are other factors that come in here, including something called Pchat Nevela, that might be the responsibility of the Nizak. And therefore, what the Mishnah is stating over here is simply the methodology, which just says that each one of you are responsible for half the damage. It's not telling you that you actually have to do it this way, or this is the way that it's calculated. It's just, that's the way the Torah expresses it. And that Torah expression is basically telling you that each of you are on the hook for half the nezek. The question is, my nafkamino, what is the difference between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? Both of them agree halachically with each other's cases. They don't disagree halachically. They only simply disagree about what is the paradigmatic case in the Torah. Does that have any relevance halachically? And that's the real question that rises from this Mishnah. So Tan Rabbanan, Shor Shaveh Matayim, Shnagach Shor Shaveh Matayim, V'Nefela Yafa Chamishim Zuz, that's the case Rabbi Yehuda brings, Zeh Notel Chatzi Achai V'Chatzi Ameit, V'Zeh Notel Chatzi Achai V'Chatzi Ameit. V'zehu shor amur b'Torah, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Exactly like our Mishnah, that is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, ein zeh shor hamur b'Torah. That is not the case of the Torah. Ela shor shaveh matayim, shnagach l'shor shaveh matayim. The case in the Torah is the case we have 200 zuz shor, the damage is the 200 zuz shor. Ve'en anafeilak l'afeh klum. And the nevela is worthless at the end. Azeh ne'emar, umachru et ashor achai v'chatzu et kaspo. You sell the live animal and you split the money. Elamani mikayim. Then Rabbi Meir has to answer the question that Rabbi Yehuda posed to him. What are you going to do with the latter half of the pasuk that says, "Begamat amet yechatzun, begamat amet yechatzun, chat shepichtu mita machatzin"? The damage or depreciation caused by death, they split. Bachai. in the live animal, which is that the diminution in value which is caused to the dead animal, that diminution in value, they split that difference or that damage inside of the chai. And so here, when the animal goes from 200 to worthless, they are each entitled to 100 zuz, and they'll each garner that 100 zuz from the live animal. And that's what it means, gamet ha-meit yechetzun. It doesn't mean literally the carcass. It means the mate. The mate here refers to the diminution in value between when it was alive to when it was dead. And that's the way the Rabbeinu Chananel explains it. Pchitat ha-shor ha-meit, chetziyam mishalei ma-mazik mi-gufo shel chai. The other hand, Rashi explains that mechetziyam b'chai, klomar, nevela lo shayach gabi mazik klal, el shamin et nevela kama pchutim dameh achshav misha shayach chai. That the difference between what it was worth when it was alive to what it's worth now, that is the damage that you're paying for it. So according to Rashi, the chai that you're referring to here was the sure that is dead now, who was once alive, you take the value differential between that chai and the mate now, and you pay half of that. On the other hand, the way the Rabbeinu Chananel says it, the chai is referring to the shor mazik, that you take the damage, and then you take, or you charge 50% of that damage to the chai, to the live animal, you get it at the live animal's worth.
Michte, ben Rabbi Meir, ben Rabbi Huda. Whether you hold a Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, hai mea, vesrim v'chamisha shakil. Each one of them would get 125 shekel, meaning that we agree that there's 150 shekel of damage in the case that Rabbi Huda brings, where the animal went from being 200 down to a carcass that's worth 50. Rabbi Meir says, well, look at the diminution in value. It went down 150, you split it, each of you is on the hook for 75. Rabbi Huda says, well, sell the live animal, it's worth 200, each of you get 100 from that. Sell the carcass, it's worth 50, each of you get 25. So you both end up with 125, or you're both carrying 75 of loss. So then, if that's the case, both of them are saying, Meir Veshrim V'chamisha Shakio, my Benayu, what's the nafkamina logically between these positions? Amarova Pchat Nevela Ika Benayu. The diminishment in value of the carcass from the time that the Nezik is done till the time that it was sold or the time that it's brought to Din, that is the difference between them. Because over there, Rabbi Meir Savar Pchat Nevela Denizak. Rabbi Meir says that all that diminution in value belongs to the Nizak. It's the Nizak's problem. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Pchat Nevela, the Mazik, Ave Palgo. That Pchat Nevela, also 50% belongs to the Mazik. That comes out of how they calculate the way that the damages are determined over here. Rabbi Meir's determination of damages simply looks at the animal while it was alive. And now the animal is dead. What was the differential between the live animal and the dead animal? 150 shekel. You're each on the hook for 75 of it. That's the end of the story, according to Rabbi Meir. And therefore, if the carcass then continues to depreciate in value, that is the problem of the Nizak. It belongs to Nizak. It is his issue to deal with. And since it's his issue to deal with, that all that value diminution from the time or depreciation from the time of the Nezik till the time it's sold is the Nizak's problem. On the other hand, the way that the damage is calculated by Rabbi Yehuda, or the distribution of values calculated according to Rabbi Yehuda, that makes the Mazik a partner in that depreciation. That is because you sell the live animal, each of them gets a half of that value. If it was worth 200, each of them get 100. You take the carcass and you sell it, and then each of them gets half of that value. So if they sell it immediately, it's 50 zuz, and each get 25. On the other hand, if it depreciates and it's now worth 40, when you sell it, they'll each get half of those proceeds, 20 to each. That means that they're sharing in the value depreciation of the carcass. Now, even though, if you remember from earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf Yud, the Gemara already dealt with this issue, and the Gemara there says, Afagav de Perakama Tosavot says, Navkalan ve'ameit yelo. We learned that from the Pasuk, ve'ameit yelo. Lo means the Nizak, that the Nizak is responsible for the Nevela. So why do we need, over here, Rabbi Meir, to tell you the Gamata Meit Yechatzun, that the diminution in value is split between them, but the Pchat Nevela all belongs to Nizak? We already learned that from an explicit Pasuk earlier in the Masechta. So why do you need this over here? Tosafot over here explains that Alma Nafkalan Migvigam Et Meit Yechatzun Delo Mishalem Elechatzi Nezek. That we learn from that you don't pay any more than Chatzi Nezek. Because had you just learned it out of the Chatzu et Kaspo, you would think that there is, sometimes it's more than half, sometimes it's less than half. Pasuk here teaches us
not only from Vameiti Elo, which says it's a Nizak's problem in terms of the Nezek that takes place, or the Pchat Nevela that takes place, but also Vechatsu et Kaspo when it comes to the splitting of the money. And then Vegamet Ameiti Chatsun, that tells you that everything is 50-50 here, and therefore the value that each one of them carries, or the Nezek that's going to be paid over here, is Chatsi Nezek, and not some other distribution or mix of responsibility here between the Mazik and the Nizak. And we're going to see cases of that upcoming in the Gemara where it turns out that it doesn't turn out to be exactly 50-50 the damage that they're carrying. Now the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye, Imkein Matzinu LeRabbi Yehuda. What will turn out here, according to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, is a very strange thing. That Tam is Chamur Mimuad. Tam will actually be more stringent than a Muad. Because by a Muad, we say, Vameiti Elo. That's where that pasuk is found. That means it's the full responsibility of the Nizak. And then by a Tam, we're going to say, based on the way that we described Rabbi Yehuda's calculation, that the Pchat Neveila will be the responsibility of both the Mazik and the Nizak. And if that's the case, by Tam, the Nizak will actually benefit from the Mazik sharing in that depreciation in value. That means that the Mazik is actually on the hook for more damage in the case of a Tam than he is in the case of a Muad. And that's very strange. Maybe that's true. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda believes that Tam is more Chamor than a Muad. And actually we have an example of that. The Rabbi Yehuda really does believe that. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, Ketanan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tam Chayav Umuad Patur. This is based later on in the Gemara about what type of shmirah, what type of guarding do you need for an animal. Based on the Gzirat HaKatuv by Tam and Muad, Rabbi Yehuda comes up with a very counterintuitive halachic outcome, which is that if you give a shmirah pchuta, which means just a normal, regular type of guarding of the animal, if a Tam does damage, you're going to be on the hook for it. If a Muad does damage, you're going to be patur. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda does have such a concept that a Tam is more chamor than a Muad. Mar says, well, imor dishmait le Rabbi Yehuda le inyan shmirah, dichtive krai. The reason by shmirah that he believes that a Tam is more chamor than a Muad is because that's explicit in the psukim. That's a gzerat hakatuv. And we'll see that when we get to there later in the Masechta, exactly how the gzerat hakatuv works. But that gzerat hakatuv lands you with this counterintuitive outcome, which is that the Tam needs a greater shmirah than the Muad in order to be patur. But the inyan tashlumim mishmaitle. Who says with regards to compensation or nezek that Rabbi Yehuda really believes that the Tam is going to be a case where the Mazik is going to have to pay for more damage than the case of a Muad? Vatanya, Rabbi Yehuda omer, yachol shor sheveh maneh, shenagach shor sheveh chamesh slaim. If you have a shor that's worth 100 zuz, the damage is a shor that's worth 5 sela. Each sela is worth 4 dinar or 4 zuz. So if you take 5 times 4, that's 20 zuz. So the damaging shor is worth 100. The damaged shor was worth 20 zuz. But nevela yafa sela. And the nevela is worth 1 sela. Or in essence, there's 4 sela of damage that's done over here. 4 times 4, that means that there's 16 zuz worth of damage that's done here. Each one of them takes half of the animal, half of the live animal, half of the animal that is the carcass now. And that will turn out to be a very interesting situation, which is you have the original animal that did the damage, which was worth a maneh, 100 zuz. That means when they split it, each party got 50 zuz. Then we said the differential between the live and animal that passed away was 16 zuz. That means that there's 4 zuz of value left in the carcass. They split that, they each get 2 zuz. That means now that each one of them ends up with 52 zuz. So now, that's interesting. The animal that this guy started out with that got damaged was only worth in totality 20 zuz. Meantime, now he ends up with a payment of 52 zuz. He's actually profiting from the damage that was done here. The mazik hurt his animal. They destroyed it totally. So then you end up with an absurdity. Which is what the problem is. Rabbi Yehuda himself is noting that there's an absurdity in his position. Amart, v'chi, mu'ad, lama, yadze, l'chachmir alav, o l'hakel alav. A mu'ad, is that to be more chamor or to be more kal? Meaning that a mu'ad, which damages on a recurring basis, and now he's designated as a mu'ad, that designation of mu'ad, is that to make him more chamor or more kal? Havyomer, l'chachmir alav. That is to be more chamor. Uma mu'ad, enu mishalem, elamaje ezik. A Muad can never pay more than the damage that was done, meaning the mazik will never pay in excess of the damage that's done, tam akal lo kosher gain, tam which is obviously of less stringency or a lesser damage issue, of course the mazik should not pay any more than the damage is done. And so what Rabbi Yehuda adds on over here is that there's actually a cap, which is that, yes, we split the chai and the mate in order to determine the value that goes to each party, but that is capped out at the maximum amount of the damage that's done over here. And therefore, the individual can never end up with more than he damaged. All right, so therefore, it's very hard to explain that the machloket here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is talking about their sharing in the pchat nevela, in their sharing in the value diminution depreciation of the nevela, because it's clear within the shita of Rabbi Yehuda that he's not machmir by atam yoter b'muad based on the statement that we just saw from Rabbi Yehuda. If that's the case, then you can't explain it the way that Rabbi did, that we're talking about pchat nevela over here, and that the pchat nevela is going to be shared between the mazik and the nizak, because you have scenarios in which then the tam will turn out to be more chamor than the muad, and we know that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't support such a contention. We just saw in this brayta that Rabbi Yehuda clearly believes that if a muad has a certain then a tam, lo kosher gain, certainly has to have a lesser penalty or payment that is being made in this scenario. The Baal Tosafot note that Rabbi Yehuda is of a shita which says that tzad tamut b'mkoma omedet, which means that a muad is not a different entity totally, it's rather it's a tzad tamut, it's a tam, plus another 50%. And so therefore, it would actually turn out that it wouldn't be a chumra, because whatever is true of the tam in that 50% would be true of the muad in the 50% or the first 50%. So it actually turned out that the din is not different, that the muad is kola and the tam is a chumrah. Whatever chumrah applies to the tam will also apply to the muad. So Tosfot says, if that's the case, then it's not really a question. He says, no, the Gemara's question is based on this. What it's saying is that that 50% of the tamut is going to turn out to be more chamur than the 50% of the muad. And that is true. Even though the muad himself is incorporating the tam side of it in it, but the two 50% are going to be different. The 50% of the tam could actually turn out to be a much more excessive payment than that of the 50% of the muad. So for that reason, the Gemara doesn't like that explanation for the nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Elam Rabbi Yochanan offers another alternative is Elashavach Nevela Ika Binayu. The difference between them is if the carcass appreciated. The Mar Savar Nizak Havi. Rabbi Meir believes it all belongs to the Nizak over here because you just determine the damage, diminution in value, depreciation of value at the moment of Nezek. And that's the difference between the live animal and the dead animal. Then anything that happens after that is the Nizak's problem. Umar Savar, Rabbi Yehuda believes, Palga, that they split it, because the way that the calculation is done is half of the mate, half of the chai, and therefore they both share in that appreciation of the value. Behind the kakash lay the Rabbi Yehuda, and this is the problem Rabbi Yehuda faces. That's why Rabbi Yehuda made that statement before. The Torah had sympathy for the mazik over here, so then he gives them a little part of the appreciation, meaning that the mazik, the Torah actually has mercy on over here. First of all, he only has to pay for half the damage. And in addition to that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he is a partner in the Nevela to this extent that the Nevela goes up in value, that he's also a beneficiary of that. So then you could actually have another absurd case, which is, Yechol, Shor Shaveh Chamesh Slaim, Shenagach Shor Shaveh Maneh. You have a shor that's worth 5 sela, 20 zuz. That damage is a shor that is worth 100 zuz. V'nevela yafa 50 zuz. And the nevela is worth 50 zuz. Zenotel chetzi achai v'chetzi amet. V'zenotel chetzi achai v'chetzi amet. Each one of them takes half of the live animal, half of the carcass. So now what do you end up with? You end up with the case here with the live animal's worth 20 zuz. They split that. They each get 10 zuz. You take the carcass. The carcass is worth 50 zuz. They split that. Each one of them gets 25 zuz. That means in totality, they're holding 35 zuz over here. Now that's interesting because the mazik's animal was worth 20 zuz when he started. So now he did damage and then he pockets 35 zuz in the end. after his animal did the damage. The guy who had the hundreds of his animal now ends up with 35, and he's out of pocket 65 zuz. So you end up again with another ludicrous or absurd type of outcome. Amar teicha matzino mazik niskar shizeh niskar. Where do you ever find that the mazik is a winner? He hit the lottery. He hit the jackpot. And that he's able to win money from doing nezek. That's never the case. That can't be the explanation. Ve'omer, and the pasuk says by the mu'ad, shalem yishalem. So that double lashon tells you, balim mishalmim, vein balim notlim. The balim pay, but they do not collect. That means that the balim can never be winners. Here, they can never hit the jackpot. So, my ve'omer. So what is the ve'omer here? Why do we bring a pasuk after we have a logical argument which says that the mazik should never benefit? Like the example which we brought before, which is a case where there's the benefit to the mazik is at the cost or the loss of the nizak, because when he gets 35 shekel and he gets 15 shekel above the value of his animal, then the nizak now is losing 65 shekel out of the 100 shekel animal. He's losing more than 50%. So over there we say no go. That is inappropriate that the mazik should now be a beneficiary at the expense of the nizak. In a case where there is no loss to the nizak, kagon, I'll give you an example of that. Shor sheveh chamesh slaim, shenagach shor sheveh chamesh slaim. They're both worth 20 zuz to start with. Benevela yafa shloshim zuz. And the carcass happened to be worth 30 zuz, more than the live animal. The animal died, and then all of a sudden there was a big run on carcass prices. And so now the carcass is worth 30 zuz in excess of what the live animal was worth beforehand. So now, if they split it, they split the live animal, which is worth 20 zuz, they each get 10. They split the carcass now, they each get 15 from this 30 zuz carcass. Now they're both holding 25. The original owners, which is the mazik, had a 20 selah shor. Now he has 25 selah, he's pocketing 5 extra in money. The nizak also had a 20 selah shor. And it got damaged. Now he has 25 shekel in his pocket. So he didn't lose anything. He just gave up some of his gain, but he didn't lose anything. Maybe in that case, the mazik should be able to share in that benefit or in that appreciation. So then Gemara says about that, that that's why we brought the pasuk to tell you that that's not true as well. That even in cases where the mazik is getting the shevach, but the nizak is losing nothing. V'omer shalem yishalem. Balim mishalmim ve'ein balim notlim. There is a hard principle which says that the mazik pays and does not receive money. He can never be, or he can never end up in a situation where he gets back more money than he entered this fray or he entered into this situation. Right now the Gemara continues and says, Amalei Rav Acha bar Tachlifa the Rava. Im kein matzina the Rabbi Yehuda, Tom mishalem yoter michatzi nezek. That means that now you have a scenario in which Tom pays more than chatzi nezek. Vator amra umachru et ashor achai v'chatzu et kaspo. So if that's the case, you have to come up with 50%. So now, how do you have a scenario like that? Rashi brings one scenario. The Rabbein Ochanan brings an alternate scenario. Rashi claims that the scenario is, you can see this in the Rashi, you have a case where shor shaven nun, shnagach l'shor shaven mem. You have a shor that's worth 50 zuz that damages a shor that's worth 40 zuz. Benevela yafa chaf. And the nevela is worth 20 zuz. That means that there's a 20 zuz loss over here. Uvkapalga niska sara. Half the damage is 10 zuz. It went from being 40 down to 20. Half that damage of the 20 zuz is 10. So each party should be bearing 10 of the loss here. What ends up happening is if you sell the live animal and the carcass is worth 20. You sell that, each one of them gets 10. The original animal, the mazik's animal, is worth 50. You split that, they each get 25 shekel. That means that you get 35 shekel each. So as far as the individual whose shore was damaged, he's very happy. He had an animal that was worth 40, went down to 20, and now he ends up with 35. All he did was lose 5 zuz. Then from the mazik's perspective, he had a shore that was worth 50, and now he ends up with 35. That means that he has a 15 shekel deficit here, or a loss here. 15 shekel is more than half the damage. The damage was 20 zuz. That 20 zuz, you split in half, is 10 zuz. He's paying 15 instead of the 10. So why is that the case? Or why would Rabbi Yehuda allow for that to happen? Doesn't he have the pasuk that says, v'chatzu, that they have to split it? And the splitting means that only half the damage should be borne by the mazik.
The example that's brought by the Rabbeinu Hananel is slightly different. It's a case where he says, the Shor HaChai is worth 300 zuz, but meit hayah shaveh resh. And the animal that was killed was worth 200, but nevela nun zuz. And the carcass is worth 50 zuz. So now the difference in the original value to the carcass is from 200 down to 50. That's 150 shekel of damage. That 150 shekel split between them is that each one is responsible for 75 shekel of damage. But now if you go in and split it, you split the live animal, which is worth 300, each one of them gets 150. You split the carcass, which is now worth 50, they each get 25. That means now each one of them has 175 shekel. Again here, the original owner of the animal that was killed, he had a 200 zuz, sure, and now he's getting back 175. That means he's only contributing 25 to the loss. On the other hand, the party that had a 300 zuz animal, he's now only getting back 175. That means that he's paying for 125 zuz worth of the loss. That 125 zuz far exceeds half the value of the damage here. The damage is only 150 shekel. He should be paying 75, yet he's paying 125. So that's the example that the Rabbeinu Hananel brings, which again demonstrates the same thing, that within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to end up with these problems or these absurdities. And therefore, the Gemara here says, Itle de Rabbi Yehuda, Pchat shepichta mita mechatzin b'chai. He agrees to Rabbi Meir's Shita that you look at the damage, take 50% of it, and then you take that out of the chai. Or basically what he is saying here is that there's a cap on the liability to the mazik of 50%. He can't be paying more than 50% of the damage is done, no matter how we do these calculations here. Even if they do the calculations the way that I set forth, nevertheless, there's still a cap that the mazik will never pay more than 50% of the damage. And on the other side, as we said before, there's also a limitation that the mazik will never end up with more value than the animal he brought into this fray. And so those are the two limitations that come. How does he know this? Minole, mi begamet ameit yechatzun. Because he says that the mate you also split. Gemara says, v'haf kei Rabbi Yehuda, v'zen otel chetzi achai v'chetzi ameit, v'zen otel chetzi achai v'chetzi ameit. Then Rabbi Yehuda already used begamet ameit yechatzun to teach you that the method for calculating the damage is selling the live animal, selling the carcass, and then splitting the difference between them. Im kein, nichtov kra v'et ameit yechatzun. My begam, what does begam teach you? Shmami natarti. From that you learn two things. And Rashi says, if he explains, what does that mean that you learn two things? V'et ameit yechatzun tells you that the mazik is on the hook for the depreciation or damage that was done between when the animal was alive before and now is dead. The v'gam comes to teach you that the mazik has a portion or a benefit from the appreciation of the value of the nevela. So the bottom line with regards to Rabbi Yehuda's shita now is that the nizak can never be paying more than 50%. That's the first principle. The second principle is that the mazik can never be getting back more money than he entered into this situation with me, that he can't get more money than his shor was worth up front. In between those two scenarios, the mazik could actually be a beneficiary, which means that if the carcass appreciates in value, that appreciation will accrue both to the mazik and to the nizak, at least to the point where the mazik gets back his original shor's value. After that point, all the appreciation goes to the nizak. And then the reverse scenario, where it's picheta nevela, where there's a diminution in the value of the nevela, then they share in that value, as long as, again, the case is that the nizak doesn't end up in a scenario where he's bearing more than 50% of the loss. If he's bearing more than 50% of the loss, then we would not say that, and the mazik has now got to contribute to the point where it still ends up as a 50-50 sharing of the loss that was incurred here. Right now, we move on to the next Mishnah. Yesh chayav al masei shoro upator al ma'asei atzmo. There are cases where if the shor did the exact same action that he himself would have done, it would be chayav gabei the shor, but it would be patur when he himself does it. There are other cases where patur al masei shoro v'chayav al masei atzmo. Cases where if the shor takes an action, he will be patur, whereas if he did that same action, he'll be responsible or culpable. Keitzad. Let's see the examples of this. Shoro shibyesh patur. If his shor embarrasses somebody, the shor is patur. Because we know that busha only applies to adam, ish ba'amito, but does not apply to shor ba'amito. And therefore, busha is a type of payment or compensation that only comes from adam ha-mazik, not from the shor ha-mazik. The truth is that the Balei Tosfot point out, it's not unique to busha,
it's true of all of the Arba'a Devarim besides Nezek, that it doesn't apply to the shore, even though it applies to the individual, the Adam HaMazik. The reason that the Mishnah doesn't go into that or explicate on that is because that's going to be an explicit Mishnah later on in Perek HaChovel that makes this distinction between animals and people with regards to the Dalet Dvarim. So over here, just give it to you in shorthand. Now, in the case if he embarrasses someone, he is Chayav. Sharos Shisima et Ein Avdo. The shore goes ahead and damages his Evet, pokes out his eye, Pilachino, or knocks out his tooth. Patur. The Balim are Patur. They are patur on two levels. They are patur from compensation, monetary compensation, because the Eved Kenani is his own ownership. His shore and his Eved Kenani are both his property. And therefore, when one piece of his property damages the other piece of his property, there's no compensation to be made. It's like moving from his right pocket to his left pocket of the Adon. And therefore, he doesn't have to make any payment. But in addition to that, the Eved will not go free. Even though an Eved Kenani goes free when his eye is knocked out or his tooth is knocked out, that's only when it's done by the Adon himself. But if it's done by the money, possessions of the Adon, that's not the case. But on the other hand, if the Balim, the owner here, knocks out the tooth or the eye of the Eved Kenani, Chayav, he's responsible to make compensation, or if there's no compensation here, the Eved Kenani is going to go free. In that case, because of the penalty or the knas that's imposed in the Adon. If his animal goes ahead and does damage to his parents, chayav, he's responsible for the damage that the shore did. Then, if he hits his parents, if he does damage to his parents, he's patur from that. The reason he's patur is because of kamlei derabimine. He's subject to a death penalty for hitting his parents and doing a chaburah to his parents. Shiroshi Edliket Gadish B'Shabbat. If his shore went ahead and lit on fire a pile of grain on Shabbat, he is chayav. The owner is responsible for the damage done by the shore on Shabbat. And as Rashi points out here, it would only be Chatzi Nezek, because it's an unusual behavior of the shore, but he's still responsible for it. V'Hushi Edliket Gadish B'Shabbat. On the other hand, if he goes ahead and lights a pile of grain on fire on Shabbat, he'll be patur. Once again, now here, not because he's not necessarily liable, it's because of Kamalei Derabimine. He's on the hook for mitah because of the violation of Shabbat. So then he's patur from the tashlumim for the compensation that's made. Because his life is on the hook, and that's true in the latter two cases that mentioned the Mishnah. So here you have examples in the Mishnah where sometimes the Adam is chayav and the shore is patur. So that the shore is chayav and the Adam is patur. Gemara says it now. Tani Rabbi Abahu, Kameid Rabbi Yochanan, Kol HaMikalkalim Pturim. Any damage or item or melacha that is done that is a damaging type or destructive type of melacha is patur. On Shabbat, not allowed to engage in it. But if you do engage in it, it's only patur of al asur. It's restricted, you shouldn't do it, but it's patur. You're not chayav in that case. Chutz Mikhovel Umavir. On the other hand, the two exceptions to that rule are chovel and mavir, when an individual does damage to another party, or when a person lights a fire on Shabbat, the melacha of fire on Shabbat. Both of those, for reasons the Gemara in Shabbat explains, we know are still chayavin. One is because the Torah had to tell you that you're allowed to do a brit milah on Shabbat. The fact that the Torah had to tell you to do a brit milah on Shabbat means that it would otherwise be asur. The reason it would be asur is because the brit milah is a chabura. It's damaging, taking blood, drawing blood from the individual. So what that shows you is the fact that the Torah had to go out of its way to tell you brit milah on Shabbat is mutar. That tells you that any other type of chabura would be chayav or problematic. The same is true by Eish, which is that the Torah goes out of its way to tell you that Beit Din may not execute a bat kohen on Shabbat through petilat avar, which is putting the hot molten lead down her mouth, or basically using havara to punish the individual. That is not allowed to be done on Shabbat. Once again, the fact that the Torah had to tell you can't execute on Shabbat means that other types of havara would be problematic if it were not for this case here by execution where you would have thought it was mutar and the Torah tells you it's asur. For that reason, Rabbi Abahu is quoting over here that any mekalkel, any destructive type of melacha is patur of al asur with the exception of chovel mavir, where you would be chayav. Then, Amarlei, Rabbi Yochanan responds to him, says, poke Tani the Boro. Says, take this Mishnah out of here. Whatever you're just quoting now is incorrect. Chovel HaMavir, Eino Mishnah. When you have Chovel and Mavir, you're telling me that they're Chayavim, even when they're Mekalkel, that is wrong. Vim Tim Salomer Mishnah, and if you tell me it really is a Mishnah, Chovel B'tzarich L'Kalbo, Mavir B'tzarich L'Afro. The case where he's doing damage, he's opening up his animal to let blood out for his dog to eat, or it's a case where he is Mavir, he's lighting a fire in order to get the ashes or the coals afterwards. So there's some constructive nature to the destructive type of malacha that is being done here. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Bao, you're wrong. And if you brought a breita down, that breita is wrong. And if there is such a breita, then I tell you, this is the way to explain it. Or, in essence, if you have a Mishnah that's Meduyak, like what you're saying, which we're going to see in tomorrow's daf, our Mishnah's Meduyak in that way, don't learn it that way. It has to be a case where there is some sort of constructive nature or constructive aspect to the Melacha. And that is what Rabbi Yochanan is arguing on Rabbi Abo. Now, there is a similar machloket like that in the Gemara in Shabbat between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon believes that all kolam mekalkalim p'turim chutz me chovel u'mavir, where it's chayav. And Rabbi Yehuda says that even by chovel u'mavir, you need constructive aspects to make it chayav on Shabbat. It was just done in a destructive manner, you are not chayav. The Rashbam claims that that machlok between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is the same machlok that we're seeing here between Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yochanan. The Baal HaTosafot say, how could that be? That makes no sense. Because then, what did Rabbi Yochanan just say? Oh, you have a Mishnah or a Braita that follows the Shita of Rabbi Shimon? Wipe it out, throw it out of the Beit Midrash? Just because it's a Tana that disagrees with you, or a Braita that disagrees with your position, or the Tana who you support's position, you throw it out? That doesn't make any sense. And therefore, the Baal HaTosafot here, they say that both Rabbi Abao and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, who says that Chovel and Mavir are Chayavin on Shabbat, even when they're in destructive nature, the machloket is, how destructive does that mean? Rabbi Bao says, we take it literally. Even if you simply burn or you do Chavala on Shabbat for no reason whatsoever, you are Chayav. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, that's not true. I don't need a tikkun or constructive nature that is true in all the other malachot of Shabbat. It's not at that threshold. It's not at a level that Rabbi Yehuda asks for, but you at least have to have some tzorech tzat. You have to have some little item that makes it that it is constructive in nature. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan says that Rabbi Shimon requires in order to be b'chayav. It's not that it's completely destructive, but at least has some constructive nature aspect to it. And then you would be chayav according to Rabbi Shimon. What's interesting about that is that then, according to Rabbi Abahu, you need nothing constructive. It's simply destructive in nature. Tosfot says, and that becomes a malacha, shena tzricha legufa. You're doing malacha where you don't need the toilet, you don't need the outcome of the malacha, because it's not done for anything constructive whatsoever. So that should be malacha shena tzricha legufa, and according to Rabbi Shimon, malacha shena tzricha legufa is patur. So then how does Rabbi Abahu have a position like this? So Tosfot then comes up with the possibility that even Rabbi Abahu requires some little constructive aspect to it, not as high as Rabbi Yochanan's threshold, but at least some sort of constructive aspect to it, in order to overcome the problem of melacha she'ein tzricha legufa. Tosfot then gives another possible answer, which is that the melacha she'ein tzricha legufa here is not completely like the classic case of melacha she'ein tzricha legufa, which is a case where you're digging in a field because you want the dirt. Over there, when you create the hole in the field, or the equivalent of plowing the field, or digging a foundation for a house, over there, you don't care about that at all. All you want is the dirt. Whereas over here, when you kill the animal to get the blood, or you burn the fire to get the coals or the ashes, it's not that you're completely disinterested in the item or the malacha that you're doing. The malacha is a necessary or necessity to get to the outcome that you want. And therefore, it's not the classic case of malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. And so because of that, you are possibly chayav over here, even though it looks similar to a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa, it's not exactly alike. And for that reason, Rabbi Abahu believes that you are chayav here, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, we're going to stop here, four lines from the bottom of Lamed Daled Amud Bet.